lot of enjoyment getting to meet new people and learn some new things. All of them got something to learn from, even just all of them. It's been really good having them. And good things going on in missions. Lord, our missionaries that we support already, raising support. I'll talk a little bit about Brother Kurt Robertson. Had a long letter I received yesterday. That's got some good stuff in it, so we're excited about that. And thank you so much for missions. When what you do for missions, our missions cards we'll collect probably 3 weeks. We're going to do a preacher boy the Sunday night, the week of Thanksgiving. I'd like to have them all turned in by then. That way we can figure out what we need to do. I'm going to put a list of missionary people on the table. That way you'll take it, be able to take it and figure out what we should do. Just names to pray over, and then come January, by that first Sunday night in January, we'll do our business meeting, figure out what we're going to do. But this morning we're going to be looking at our main verses in Romans chapter number 10. But we're going to look at the very last part of Romans chapter number 9. We're going to start in verse number 25. So we have to read it to set our sights for where we're going to be this morning. We're going to talk about God's righteousness, and it will feed into tonight. We're going to be in Genesis tonight, but God's righteousness, how important it is, and how important it is in just one person. Just one person has it. What can be done if there was one that was righteous? Verse 25, the Bible says, as he saith also in OC. When I first got serious about reading and studying, looking at, what is this OC? What is this OC? Preacher, that's just another name for Jerusalem is what I could find. I mean, so you have words or names for a place, and maybe like an affectionate name that you don't use all the time, or a historical name or something, and you use it, and those around you don't. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm just talking about, that's what's going on here. It's not a different place. But in Jerusalem, he says, I will call them my people. And this is where we've been in Isaiah on Wednesday nights. I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Right? He tells the Israelites about the Gentiles and how they're going to be called and how they're going to be brought. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. That's not good. Okay? You go to Hawaii and you bring back your little vial, right? You left the rest of the beach there, right? Praise the Lord. The turtles and everybody else got a place to swim, and right? Got your little bit, and God's saying, there's all that sand. He said, but there's just going to be a remnant left, right? Why is that? Because so there's a bunch of them that don't love God. Right, there's a bunch of them that haven't turned their hearts toward God. Said, but there's going to be a remnant. That's what Isaiah was saying. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, purity of heart, righteousness, purity of heart. He's going to cut the work short in righteousness because and this is for the people that think the world's a kajillion years old, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Right, and it wouldn't matter how old it was. Right, to God. It doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. A short work. The Bible says, and Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, had obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Of faith. Believing in God. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, it's not the law's fault here, right? It's not the law's fault. They followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Just following it, okay? Just because you obey the speed limit doesn't mean you bow down and worship the signs. It doesn't mean you love all things concerning speed control. And I have to follow it. Got to do it. Got to obey the speed limit. Really don't like it. In fact, I'm going to drive one over. I'm just going to do it. Now we pretty much follow. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have that relationship to that crazy speed sign out there, but you're not going and canceling work to go sit on the next meeting for Alaska DOT and discuss speed stuff. You're not. That's what you got to follow. Okay. And the Jews said, well, this is our law. This is what we follow. This is what we do. They weren't loving the God of the law of righteousness. Does it make sense? Their faith wasn't in Him. It's like, we're just going to do these things. If we do these things, we're going to be okay. No, and that's where we see in the New Testament, when we love God, we do these things. And that's a thing in Christianity. Say, well, if I do these things, I'm going to be okay. No. I need to love God. And my love for God is going to bring about all these things in Him that He's asked for me to do. And I don't even know what those are yet. But He's going to help me to do them. He's going to show me what to do, when to do them, and how to do these things. So here are the Gentiles. They've obtained this righteousness through faith. They didn't do anything for it, right? Romans 3 talks all about that. Where is boasting then? The Bible says it's excluded. He said, I didn't do anything to get it. God imputes it to us, Romans 4 says. But then the Jews, they said, man, we followed this law of righteousness, but we haven't obtained it. Wherefore? Why? Because they sought it not by faith. They're not trying to get it by faith. Father, we do pray that You'd help us this morning. Pray that You'd give us the message, Lord. You'd give us the exact thing we need this morning as we go through Your Word. And we love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Trying to obtain it, weren't getting it. And when God says you're not getting it, you're not getting it. Doesn't matter what kind of groups you make. It doesn't matter what kind of counsels you have. When you don't have faith in God, you're not getting it. It's not happening. Doesn't matter how much church you go to. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter any kind of a religious activity. You're not getting it. It's not by faith. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do this thing. And I'm going to obtain this righteousness. He imputes it to us. You can't buy it. You cannot earn it. You have to believe. You have to trust Him. The Bible says they sought it not by faith, verse 32, but as it were by the works of the law. I mean, just get real here for a second. Here's the list. Do you lose points for following one of the laws better than the other ones? Do you stick to one of three more than the rest of the other ones? Do you have a favorite? Do you not have... You know, see where I'm getting? I mean, if it was just a list. God says, love Me. Well, there's my neighbor's wife. Nope, love Me. Okay? Love Me. Well, that guy killed that person, so I'm going to... Nope, love Me. Versus, well, I can't kill him because God said so. No, because He said, love Me. Love Me. Man, love Me. Okay? You need... This will sound funny. I'll give you the story later. You need 2 Honda hubcap centers. Oh, there's 2 on that car. No. Love Me. People, they're $250 for 2 of them. I didn't know. Where's the other Jesse? I was trying to work on my wife's car, and I'm just thinking, I'm doing something wrong. And I'm getting on, looking at some stuff, and all these YouTubes, the guys losing their hubcap centers at the mall if you're driving like a... Brother Rich, you, I don't know, do something to it. Anyways, but of course, you know, they got the eBay version for $10 now, but people stealing them because they're so expensive, right? No, you love Me. Thou shalt not steal. See, you go around loving that law. Thou shalt not steal. And you're policing people. You're not saying, I'm not going to steal because God's going to provide for me. Does that make sense? There's no direction back to God for it. I'm going to take my neighbor's wife because God's not going to provide me with a wife. Or I don't like the wife He gave me. Make sense? You're like, oh, my sin's with this person. No, you sinned against God. You spit in His eye. God provided for you, spouse. And you said no. Or whatnot. Right? And that's why it's so important. It's like, well, I'm kind of getting close, kind of getting serious, or kind of getting whatever. Put them through their paces. Right? Bro Harvey? Right? Put them through their paces. Right? Hey, you're going to discourage. No! Remember we talked about this, hardening. Right? You want to make sure it's right. You're better off to go through a few months of unpleasantness vetting the potential son-in-law or daughter-in-law than saying, oh, well, you know, at least they're not, you know, this or that. No. Put them through the paces. I told the kids in the youth group, I said, you'll make Thanksgiving hell for the rest of your years? And Christmas? Well, we don't really go home for Christmas anymore. Why? God just made families so they'd be broken up and split up all the time and never be angry at each other. No! Made a process. If we love Him, then it's going to be right. It's going to work. It's going to be great. Can't have my neighbors. No, because I gave you a wife. Or I will give you a wife. Trust me. Trust me. Okay. But my neighbor's mule. No! No! Trust me! The neighbor's fishing hole? No! On and on. No, I will provide for you. Okay? Because the relationship's like this. I mean, think about it. Back in the day, man, there was a priest there. Okay? And you sin, and you took the priest, and you gave him. Can you imagine clearing your schedule to go get your sins paid? I mean, it'd be like all you do, right? It'd be all I do, you know? It's like, here we go again, here we go. I'd be broke trying to get animals to help me out here, you know? The priest's like, back again, hey, you know? It's like, not anymore. Priesthood of the believer. Lord, I got to do it. I got to do it. Well, I got to, you know, I got one of our coaches, you know. Coach Garner, where do you pastor again? Now I start coming. I'm mad at my priest because this, you know, is the wrong political flavor. Whatever, you know. I'm like, well, we're, you know, I just laugh people. I mean, you know, oh, hey, you don't say, you know, we'll really take care of you. No, we won't, because you're your own. And you talk about mind blown to that group. Say, no, you don't have one. You are the one. You mean I have to do that stuff? I got to pay attention? I have to have a relationship with God? Yeah, it's starting to ring true now, isn't it? Call it Christianity a little bit, right? Not super popular. Not super. Oh, don't have to go, don't have to wear the dress and all that. No! You don't have to do that. You need to love God. You need to be sincere. The Bible says righteousness, purity of heart. You can't go before God saying, I want it for this, but oh, Lord, could you? No! He's right through you to your fingers crossed in the back, right? He knows those things. Don't try to pull that one, right? And that's where we, you know, it's hard as parents. So we don't have that all-seeing, like, burn-through vision. Some of the moms got it, but like the rest of us, we're just like, ha, what do they really want it for, you know? If only you catch, like, enough tidbits of the story, you have a great day as a parent. You're, like, on top of it. And you're, like, you can anticipate the question coming. You're like, ah, because you already know why. Most days you don't. You don't get the drop on them like that. And you're just like, what are they really, really, really? You can't see in the heart. God does. He looks right. The Bible says He tries the reins, man. Grandpa used to say, boy, you'd say G and Ha, and you'd just lay the rein on their neck this way, and you lay the rein on the neck this way. You didn't have to put your turn signal out and do, you know. You just lay the rein on their neck, and then, okay, we'll go to the left. Okay, we'll go to the right. And God says, I'm going to try the rein. You love me? I'm just going to lay it real gentle. I'm going to say, oh, we're going this way, God, because you're sensitive to us. It makes sense. Oh, God, I don't want to go that way. Shaw! You know, that hurt. Why are you doing that? Because you're not sensitive. Does that make sense? I mean, that's about where we're at. Oh, I law of righteousness. I want to have it. Well, you got to have a relationship with me. Uh-huh. A relationship with God? What a downer. What a drag. No! The best thing you could ever have. He goes from end to end. He sees all problems. He can help you. Why wouldn't you go to Him? Well, I'm seeing my this or my that. Go to God. Go to God. So there's these trying to obtain. They can't get it. And then there's these that are all supposed to be on the outside. Now they're on the inside because they believe by faith like God says we should. How about that? How about that? Now, you used to go through the Old Testament. You go through the people and you go through all the different examples of Moses. He believed by faith. Where was he? Out in the desert. God said, I want you to go do this. Okay. Right? Abraham. He believed by faith. He's out in Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'm going to pull you out of here. I'm going to send you over here. Okay. I mean, there are examples of it, but there are a lot of Israelites who are like, got to go through this process. And here's the law. Well, I really like this one, but this one steps on our toes a little bit. I think we could cut her down to the 9 commandments, or at least 8.5, because I struggle with this one. Yeah, but if your relationship with God's right, He'll make them all go away. Just, hey, if I love God, things are going to happen. Things are going to be right. It wasn't that God was hurting for page space or ink or anything else in the testimony. He just says, you got to love me. Right? The lawyer's like, man, precedent, if I could just get him, right? No, you just got to love me. Oh, I knew you were going to say that, God. I mean, who knows, man? We could beat that lawyer someday. I pray he got saved, but who knows? We could just catch him. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Here's the trouble, 32. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. God said, I'll put one right in the middle of the road for them. It's me. I mean, right? You're out somewhere where you don't know, or you're somewhere where you do know, and you're like, I got to get out the back way, right? And you're going out the back of the parking lot, And here they are, the road, the speed bumps, right? And there's no way around them. It's like, those rascals, they put two of them in there, right? And they only put the little channel in there for the water to run through and blah, blah, blah. You're, I'm going to go this way. And you're going to hit some big old huge pothole where the rednecks before you all went because they didn't want to go to the speed bumps either, right? God, here I am. I'm right here. What are you going to do with me? He says, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. Okay? Now, think about it. I mean, the people that are going through the neighborhood, we're there a pain in the neck, right? Because we got to drive over them. We don't live there. Ah, but the people that live there, you know, they may have sat down one day and said, can we get some speed bumps here? My little puppy got run over, or there was a close call with Johnny on his bicycle. We need a speed bump here and here, right? So they get them put up, right? So that person driving down the street, they're thinking, man, what a pain. Those people that live there are like, no, this is helping us. That's how you look at this thing. He's called the cornerstone, the head of the corner. By who? Ah, the people that build on him. People that he's a hindrance to, what do they call him? Stumbling stone. He's in the road. Get him out of the way. If I pull him out of the way, the whole thing's going to come crashing down. Does it make sense? How are you looking at him? See the stumbling stone? Or is he the cornerstone? You know? Like, how are you looking? Get that up. Oh, it's a good cornerstone right there. Well, built upon it. Nothing's going to crash. Nothing's going to mean. When he got down on the mountain, chapter 7 of Matthew, and he says, those that hear my words and do them, I will liken them unto a wise man who built their house on, the stone, the cornerstone. He didn't say, oh, there's a rock or a trip over it, right? Man, I'm not the son of a farmer, but I married the farmer's daughter, right? And every farmer's got a rock pile, if not 100 of them, right? And I just, when we go to Colfax or we go to Lewis or wherever, you drive through the Palouse. They've never been to the Palouse. Washington is a cool state. I'll just put a plug in for our state. Besides, forget people there, just the state. It's Western Washington's cool. Yeah. Anyhow, not getting political today, but we can't avoid that. Amen. Grew up on the dry side over here. But there's rainforests. There's desert. There's high shrub steppe. There is... I just call it the Palouse. There's the farm around the Palouse. You look out, there's nothing. There's no trees, nothing. And in the fall, man, you talk about amber waves of grain, right? I know they didn't travel over to Pullman and then write the Star Spangled Banner. You know, we're missing a verse. We need inspiration. But I'm just saying, and it's awesome. It's great. Rock pile out in the middle of this field that feeds the world. There's a rock pile. Why? Because farmers will stop their, I don't know what they are, like $400,000 combine. I mean, they're just pulling doubles, they just go, climb out, get down, pick up this rock this size, throw it out. It gets in the equipment. It breaks things. Guy hates welding. He's picking rocks up. I mean, it's just the way it is. You say, well, I love to weld. I'm going to pass that. I want to see how hard that went. It's just like the tip of something bigger. Like, oh, get it out. Right? There's times when the stumbling stone, it's good to get, but you got to look and see what it is. I'm calling the Lord a stumbling stone because I don't want to build on him. Okay? A lot of people look at God like this, a hand coming down when he says, no, I'm a stone to be built upon. To be built upon. As it is written, verse 33, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But the Bible says the ones that he falls on, going to grind them to powder. Not going to be anything left. Now, verse 1 of chapter 10 is very much like verse 1 through 3 of chapter 9. Paul lays his heart out about the people of Israel. In verse 9, he says, in verse number 3 of chapter 1 of chapter 9, he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Right? You hear some pastor, do you love people enough you'd go to hell and let them go to hell? Dumb question, right? Don't use that question, okay? Let's just understand Paul here and then let's read verse 1 of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's all you can do. Well, I got this loved one or I got this friend. I would do this. No, just pray for them that they would get saved. And your heart's desire. So when you see things happening, you're like, that's awesome! That's great! That's wonderful! Great. heart's desire. That's great. It's wonderful. Why? Because the desire is something that's godly. The desire is something that would bring glory to God. That's wonderful if these people get saved. That'd be wonderful. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. The back part of the verse. But not according to knowledge. Oh man, I really love the Lord. All right, what Lord are we talking about? Right? As I studied Lord Kelvin in chemistry. What are we talking about? Oh, Kelvin temperature scale. I mean, come on, people. You got Fahrenheit, you got Celsius, and you got Kelvin temperature scale. Lord Kelvin? I mean, doesn't that ring a bell to anybody? No, Lord, I thought you meant, oh, okay, you know. Oh, not according to knowledge. Make God what they want Him to be. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. You do not want to be ignorant of God's righteousness. That's why you can just cut it with cult people. You can just cut it right down to who's Jesus and what has He done. And let's just get right to the righteousness and cut out all the junk. And cut out all the junk. Let's just figure it out about Jesus. Because if we can't get that straight, you know, we don't have any business there. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. In the back part of verse 3 gives us our problem. If not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. God's not enough. Righteousness is not enough. I guess. I don't know. What's the mindset of that person? I don't need it. I'm okay. I don't know. Do we believe we're just young enough that we believe we're going to live forever? We don't think there is a forever. I mean, whatever it is. And people have their ideas. I mean, you just got to, that's where when, you, well, if I just, I mean, we got the gospel tracts, take them. You'll find, you say, well, I use this one, take them, try different things. I pray for people. The big thing is that you got to learn who these people are and what they think. Like, what's your stumbling here? What is your deal? Well, I thought this paper was magic. No, and it's not, right? But it has the Word of God in it. The Bible says it's powerful. And that's what gets in it. Said, what's the problem? I'm mad at God because my mom died of cancer. Okay, all right. I get it. All right. Where for months I tell you, well, I just don't believe that stuff's real. I don't need church. I don't want. But reality is they grew up going to church and they prayed and didn't get what they wanted. And now it's God's fault. Okay. Don't get mad at them. Just say, okay, that's where it's at. Okay. All right. We get it. Then you can work from something. But somebody's going about trying to establish their own righteousness. They say, but we don't have any. We're broken people. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's look at your book. I mean, look at it right there. The Bible says we're filthy rags. Our righteousness is no good. It's no good. It doesn't work. It won't work. I like doing stuff over and over again, getting the same result of no work. It doesn't work. Stop it. It's not working. Quit. You know, oh, man. My grandpa used to, no television, none. Yeah, he lived in the Pacific Northwest. Said, listen, the Mariners, they don't work either. That's a joke. But anyhow, he listened to the Mariners, and then Grandma passed away. He's like, man, I'd like to watch some football. I said, okay. And, you know, and there's the Seahawks in there, you know. And not like it used to be. Not like it has been lately, but, you know, they're better. Back in the day, I just said they're guilty of ruining Sunday afternoon sports watchers for years. I mean, it's disappointing for years. And I just, you know, like being a Browns fan, all these people, you vote for the doormat, you know, and you're always losing team. Grandpa says, oh, what's wrong with that? Oh, I just want to put an axe in that thing. In the television? I said, okay. I said, why? And he's like, they keep running into the middle of all those people. They're not getting anywhere. They even go around the end. You know, all the time. That was the argument all the time. I was like, I'm with you, Grandpa. It's not going to work. Establishing our own righteousness, we have no parts to play with. We have no part in the game. There's no righteousness on the earth but what God brought and gave. There's none. Zero. Where do you get it? Where do you get it? I challenge my Mormon friends. Where do you get it? Right? You're gonna help me, and you better because you're working your way. Right? You can't. It's imputed to you. Chapter 4 of Romans. It's given. It's put into our account. God gives it to us. The Gentiles, us, we received it by faith. We didn't look through the laws and say, well, I'm going to try to do all those and get anything. We haven't submitted ourselves. We have to submit ourselves to God's righteousness if we're going to receive it. That God, you know all things. I mean, you died for me. When you submit, you're coming underneath all the things that He teaches and describes. Everything He says. Everything. Not picking and parting. That's where you cult out, is where you pick pieces and pull out. That's where you become cultish. You're like, I don't know about this. We're going to take this part because it sounds really good. We're going to get this. It sounds really good. No, all of it. You submit yourself to all of it. All of it. Christ is the end of the law, verse 4, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Period. It's the end. Well, don't I have to go back and do all these? No! Well, doesn't it matter what I eat? It does because you're the temple of God. Yes! Take care of your temple! But it always gets me when people are on this, you know, gotta have this, you gotta have this, and it's like, it is not a and people have commercialized this to say, well, this is the way to health. You got to eat Bible and you got to do this and you got to do it. Yeah. There's some things that are better, some things that are healthier. Yeah, wonderful. But if God gives it and I pray over it and tell Him thank you for it, guess what? It's going down the hatch. Okay? It's going down the hatch. It's like it is, and I'm going to thank God for it. Thank you. Thank you that I can go another day. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, I really didn't want to eat horse meat. I really didn't want to eat this or that, right? It's like, but God put it in. He's like, that's what we're going to have, that I'm thankful for it. Versus having what you want, saying, oh, I don't want to eat. I think God said, what do you want, you poor child? No, man, we got the, you're going to starve, right? There's starving kids that want your food. Well, we're ungrateful. The Bible says, we're almost done this morning, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Okay, this is the difference between I'm going to follow this list or I'm going to have it within me to love God. This is the difference. It gives the illustration. The righteousness, verse 6, which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. If I was to establish my own righteousness, how would I go about doing it? You don't have to ask yourself these questions, because you're not going to find it here on the earth except for those where Christ resides, the people that are Christians. If the Bible talks about pulling out those that let. When the rapture happens and all the witnesses of Christ are gone, you wouldn't want to be here. I'm just saying. Talk about tribulation. If you took Christ out of a place, took God, removed God from a place, and just let it go, you wouldn't want to be there. For resource, for money, nothing. You wouldn't want to be there after having a relationship with God and knowing what that's like and being put somewhere where God says, we will not be there. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we're out of there. It's going to be a mess. And that's tribulation enough for me. It's just like the hail and the scorpions and all the other stuff. It's just like, oh, it's like, you just pull God out of that thing. How many of y'all work in a godless environment with ungodly people? And you're saying like, oh yeah, this is great. No, you just make it. Just like I did. When you come in on a Monday morning and say, where the blanket? I'm like, oh Lord, church was so good yesterday. Help me not to kill my neighbor. You know, it's like, it's tough. It's tough, it really is. But righteousness is a big deal. It's a big deal. The Bible says in verse number 8, but what saith it, the righteousness that is by faith? What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay, semicolon there. I'm not an English major, but that means we're continuing the thought that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, all right, that's for all the, God's only going to save a subset of people or whatever. Oh, okay, you got us, because not everybody gets saved. No, whosoever. I love it. I use that with people. Well, man, who can get saved? I said, he's got to be a whosoever. I mean, look on your driver's license, your ASB card. It's got to say it somewhere. You're a who, you know, you just mess with it. You got to be a, are you a whosoever? You got a shot at this thing. Do you believe it? Christ did these things for you so you could believe it. Not be ashamed, verse 11, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wonderful! How does this happen? Well, it just happens. Not really. Then it goes in. Then all the hows. Okay? The hows. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How are they going to learn about Christ unless somebody tells them? How shall they believe on him whom they haven't heard? Okay? I can't do that stuff. Somebody's got to do it. The sign language stuff, it's huge. The language stuff, it's huge. We got to tell them. Missions will never be 1 month, ever. Ever. It's never meant to be. Ever! It's all the time! It's all the time! It's the mission. They have the same mission that we have, was we need to preach. So people have the chance to receive or not receive. The Bible says in verse number 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Guess what? Joy Seaver, is she in here? Joy in here? She's sign languaging somebody the gospel. That puts her in the preacher's seat. I'm just saying, right? To say, holy brother, you know, it's like, we'll do preacher boys, and I'll have to explain to Lily for the next 3 weeks why, Lily, stand down, you know. It's like, you can preach to me at the house, you know, whatever. Why can't I wrap up, right? But, ladies, I mean, it's out there. It's there. You know, most of you mature Christians, you understand. It's like, oh, I'm right? You get that. But we got to preach them. We got to tell them. We have to tell them about this righteousness that's in Christ. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Okay? That's just the thing. I like the guys at my post office. They're good guys. They go out of the way for me. I ask out of the ordinary things of them as postal workers, you know? I know what the postal list qualifications. Yeah, I'll be able to list 70-pound boxes. You just have to. Why? Because I'm going to order them. It's going to happen. And you accept it, so you got to be ready for it. And I may order more than one at a time, right? And, hey, as I say, I help keep the trucks on the road in the wintertime. You know, it's like, we get the weight, you know, and you're, hey, you got to be able to, you got to be able to lift this, and you got to be able to do this. And you know what? They may not like it, but guess what? They're coming back on Monday. They're going to do it again. That may not be the best, but they're going to come back on and do it again. And they, oh, really? I mean, I was talking to one of our guys, and I know them all by name, and they know me. And I said, sir, anybody terrorizes you like I do? Sir, anybody? And I don't want to talk about verbally. It's just like with the stuff I order. This heavy stuff. It's like, you know, there's one lady. Buys a lot of manure. I said, really? So she buys manure off of, I think, off of Amazon. I was like, when the country kids hear about that, we just shake our heads. It's like, do you have friends? Friends with animals? I mean, do you have animals yourself? Like, buying manure? And I get it, you know. People are in the city. Look at this. This stuff's amazing. It helps things grow. I'm like, oh, unbelievable. It's wonderful. You mean food comes from gardens, not the store? Unbelievable. This is great. Even when the manure comes in, I know I'm going to see him because it's not his retirement day yet. He's going to be there. So what are you getting at? He may not like all the things that pertain, but he still has a job to do. We may not like all the responses we get when we share the gospel with somebody, but we're telling them about a righteousness that cannot be earned, cannot be bought, can't be found under a rock. It has to be received by faith. Has to be. Has to be. I don't like how they did. They reject. Yeah, you can get rejected. But guess what? I said, you just be faithful and be faithful and be faithful. However it is your, I say, I'll use the word style for lack of a better. I say, Brother Keith, I'm not good as I need to get to. Me too. I'm not like a relationship person. I never thought I would be. I don't know. No, I'm not. I don't know. Maybe I'm off. Ask my wife what I am. But But I will talk to people just whatever, because I'll look and I'll kind of see. I mean, I like looking at people and figuring out, boy, it really crossed or really whatever. And I have a hard time just like being angry because somebody else is angry. I just like, I don't, anger to me is like, ugh, not the best energy. It's like, let's do this. But you look and say, hey, well, what about this? You ever thought about this? Well, get the gospel in there. If you think, well, I got to give Romans Road to everybody. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You just use the word God. Use the word Jesus in front of people and see what, are you swearing? No. That's the only context they know. Say, man, Jesus knows, man. Jesus knows. Man, I have tough days too. Man, Jesus knows. Man, you have tough days too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're right here with you. It's not me against, it's us to Him. It's what it is. I said, man, there's God in heaven who wants to know you personally, wants you to know Him personally. And you can receive this righteousness. I mean, man, that's what get you through to Wednesday. I mean, like Tuesday. It's going to be exciting to see what I read this morning. Who said, was it on the Supreme Court? Somebody told the post office, get it done. I mean, they just pretty much told them, go to extreme measures or whatever, you know. Okay, you're telling union people. They got to work after hours. I mean, well, whatever. But they're saying, get this, you know, all stuff. They're building this thing up to be this huge, big thing. And people are going to be like, right. And then what if something doesn't, right? I mean, what if, we'll talk about it tonight. Is our end that God get glory for what happens? Or is it, Christians didn't get their way at the ballot box and God doesn't hear us and all this junk. No. We got to be able to smile. I'm telling you, have a smile on it as you go vote, as you go to whatever it is. And I just, you know, we got to be with people. And say, man, be ready. Don't pick up somebody's soapbox cause and use it. I mean, that person needs to hear about God's righteousness. And it's amazing how many would never understand that they're being used in such a way that message wouldn't get out. They have no idea because they're lost. Let's stand this morning. God's righteousness received by faith. Our song this morning, our hymn of invitation, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Any other cause, any other efforts, a waste. Just like the postal service, right? We got to deliver people. We have to. We got to be consistent in our delivery of God's word that He loves us. We have a need for Jesus. There's a sin debt that was paid, and we must keep our eyes upon Him. 261, the altar's open this morning. If you'd like to pray, we'll sing.